Radio.
The Sacraments, Corporal Gifts of Mercy, a talk by Owen Viner. This talk is part of the Jubilee Year of Mercy series entitled Mercy, Love's Second Name, presented by the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family in Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you, Father. Thank you all for being here tonight. So, my talk tonight is on the relationship of the sacraments to the question of mercy. And already at this point, I think we have an immediate problem. Because for many post-Vatican II Catholics, especially those of my generation, the issue of the sacraments seems to be difficult for us to fit into the whole Christian story. We are taught that the sacraments are essential. But are they essential to Christianity in general, or just for Catholics? That is, are they a uniquely Catholic thing? And then there is the other question. If they are specific to Catholics, what is it about our tradition that requires the sacraments? Is it the influence of medieval theology and our attachment to arcane ceremonies? Is it due to the influence of Greek philosophy on the Church? After all, people say Jesus didn't talk about the sacraments, did he? And then for many of us, we are baptized as babies, and so take the sacraments for granted. We never really question why we have sacraments, and should we receive some sort of catechetical formation, we learn that there are seven of them. Perhaps we hear of such things as matter and form and validity, but that is about it. Some have attempted to justify the sacraments through a kind of ground-up sociological approach. And by this I mean that people say, well, every group has their rituals that forms their identity, and so the sacraments are our rituals in which we celebrate who we are. And then there's the psychological approach. The sacraments, they follow the stages of development of every person, and they kind of form a parallel with our biological needs. So we have birth, maturity, service, eating, forgiveness, and death. And the sacraments kind of line up with those. And then a final way that we try to make sense of the sacraments these days is through what I call a kind of pious nominalism. And by that I mean, we say, yes, Jesus willed the seven sacraments to communicate grace to us, but he could have willed something else, and he could have chosen a different number. Now the problem is that if the sacraments do not really form an essential part of the faith, and by that I mean who Christ is and what he has revealed, then the sacraments do not matter. And that is an intentional pun, because without the sacraments, then we are left with a purely spiritual, and I would add, Gnostic faith. I'm going to propose tonight that the sacraments aren't just a quirky Catholic thing, nor are they merely a concession to our bodily nature. In fact, the sacraments go to the very heart of who Christ is and to the reality of the Church. The sacraments make the Church, and without them we do not have Christianity per se. Furthermore, because the sacraments come from the person of Christ and are given to us in the Church, they are concrete manifestations of that same principle by which Christ came to us and redeemed us. And that principle is mercy. Mercy flows from the very heart of who Christ is and how he relates to us. Sacraments then are personal and tangible expressions. They are gifts of Christ's mercy. Now, that is a very loaded statement, and I'm going to unpack it as I proceed. But this is my introduction, and I'm going to make three very basic points tonight. First of all, I'm going to talk about the specific problem that our culture raises for us in the area of the sacraments. Secondly, I'm going to propose a way of looking at the sacraments to get around that problem. And then lastly, I'm going to apply this particular way of looking at the sacraments to the whole issue of mercy, and especially the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, which is what my doctorate is in. Okay. So the first point then I want to make is that from the outset, if we don't understand the sacramental nature of our faith, then all attempts to celebrate the Year of Mercy will fail. All that we will basically do is to skirt around the edges. We will come up with banners and slogans for mercy. We will busy ourselves with social justice issues. And then we'll see calls to allow for greater permission for the use of general absolution as a way of celebrating mercy. However, in skirting around the edges, we will never encounter the mercy that changes us and expects great things from us. That is because if we do not understand the sacramental essence of our faith, we will never encounter the person who can really transform us and who calls each one of us by name to conversion, to repent and believe in the gospel, to take up our crosses and to follow him. And this is quite ironic, for the fact is that with the lead up to the Second Vatican Council, and in the actual council documents themselves, there had been a great recovery in the understanding of the sacraments, and in particular, in the fundamental nature of the Christian faith as sacramental. First, we saw the notion that Christ's humanity acted as a sacrament, as an outward sign of his divinity. This is in the Catechism. Also, and most importantly, in his person, he has revealed the Father. In response to the question, "Show us the Father," he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." He is a sacrament, broadly speaking, of the Father. The Second Vatican Council also tells us that in Christ, the Church is like a sacrament or a sign. And furthermore, she is an instrument of the union with God and of the unity of the whole human race. The Church is the sacrament of God's communion with humanity and our unity with one another. I could go further listing examples of the recovery of the notion of sacramentality in the last 100 years. What I'd like to point out, however, is that precisely at this great moment, when we have really deepened our understanding of the sacraments and sacramentality, that ironically, the sacraments now seem more irrelevant than ever to the average Christian. Part of this has been due to the collapse of catechesis in the Church, as well as a breakdown of the social structures that historically have supported Christian belief. It's a massive problem, and I can't explain it now, but what I do want to just focus on is how it is almost impossible for us in a post-Enlightenment world to perceive the sacraments as they are. And I'll do so by way of an example. I'll give an example about how the sacramental nature of existence presents itself to our experience. And it has to do with how do we perceive objects. We perceive objects as a totality. We see the whole object in its essence, it's an apple, and only then do we become aware of the parts. It's green, it's yellow, it's red, it's large, it's small, it's rotten. So first you see the whole, and then you see the parts. Now, this sacramental perception of objects is even true of children, and in fact, it is especially so. When you teach a toddler what is a horse, what do? You point to a picture, normally a photo or a drawing of a horse, and you say, "horse." And she learns that this image is a sign, it's a symbol of a horse. Why is it that the child does not locate the nature of a horse in its color or its size? So, for example, if you show her a white horse or a black horse, she still knows that they're both horses. Even should the child later see a cartoon, a logo on a shirt, or an actual horse, she'll be able to point to that specific representation of a horse essence and say, "horse." In other words, she knows intuitively that that thing that she is looking at makes present and mediates the very essence of a horse. Already the child's mind is sacramental. Now, we who have been influenced by the Enlightenment do not engage reality in this way. We don't see the whole. All we see are the parts. All we see is raw matter that can be manipulated and modified, but in the end it's meaningless. This material substance does not point to anything beyond itself. We can analyze it, break it down to its most basic chemical properties, we can modify it, but at the end of the day, all we have is lifeless matter. The body, too, presents itself to us not as a totality, not as a personal reality, but as parts that can be deconstructed and reconstructed according to our wills. Even when we attempt to use symbols as conveying meaning, it takes the form of consumerism. That is, our symbols are reduced to branding. I will contend that because we live in a particularly non- or anti-sacramental culture, and then if we add to this a whole range of phenomena, I think this goes a long way towards explaining why we have so much difficulty seeing the nature of Christianity as a fundamentally sacramental faith. Now, I've started off with a whole bunch of bad news. Now we come to the good news. This is the second part of my talk. Because while I say that this sacramental worldview is inaccessible to us, I don't think it is entirely beyond us. In an interview in which then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was lamenting the crisis in the sacrament of penance, he said this: "We need a new education about the sacraments, which is where person and mystery encounter one another." And that is the key, where person and mystery encounter one another. So what I want to do is introduce an approach to the sacraments that I call sacramental personalism. And by this I mean most basically that the sacraments are the actions of the person of Christ. I'm going to make 5 points about this. First of all, what do I mean by personalism? Here, I'm referring to a way of looking at the world that focuses on the person. And in this case, it means to focus on the person of Christ, who he is. He is the Son of the Eternal Father and Redeemer of each one of us, of every human being who has lived and who will live. Thus, in the sacraments, Christ the Son and Redeemer, he is the actor. He is the one who acts. Through the Holy Spirit, he is the one who baptizes, anoints, absolves, confirms, ordains, espouses, glorifies, and sanctifies. And that is my first point regarding sacramental personalism. Any discussion of the sacraments, whether it relates to matter and form, their communal nature, and so on, needs to be integrated into an understanding of who Christ is and what he does in each sacrament. They are truly encounters with his person. Secondly, in the sacraments, the person of Christ encounters our person, who we are, each one of us. The Gospels are filled with personal and transformative encounters with Christ. Now, we have to be careful not to misconstrue personal to mean individualistic. No, as persons, we are always in relationship with another, just as Christ always mediates the Father in the Holy Spirit. So when we encounter Christ, we do so as sons and daughters, husbands and wives, parents, siblings, parishioners, and we offer all of these relations to him for his glory. This sacramental encounter with Christ, in which our person engages his person, is expressed in the language of the liturgy. I baptize you, you be sealed, I absolve you, I take you, this is my body, I am not worthy, Lord. The intense personalism of the sacraments is expressed by the encounter between an I and a you. The sacraments are ultimately and most basically then interpersonal realities. And so that's my second point. In a sacramental personalism, the I of Christ, who he is, encounters the you of each one of us in the church. So now my third point. So we are stating that the person of Christ acts in the sacraments. And what is our response? We are to fully, consciously, and actively, and personally say yes to his gift of self, to his person. That is what our Amen expresses in what primarily active participation amounts to. We are not dealing here with mere activity, that is, doing. Busyness is not the focus of participation. If I only do more, then I am actively participating. No, the focus of active participation is the integration of the whole person into our yes, into our Amen to Christ. This person-to-person encounter in the sacraments occurs on the level of personal action. And this is what I'm really getting at in this third point. In this action, I give my whole self to Christ in response to his having given himself to me. In other words, the personal action, the mode in which the encounter takes place, operates on the level of gift, and more particularly, self-gift. We see in the life of Christ that his personal action is revealed in self-gift, in personal gift, in sacrifice. Not sacrifice understood as destruction, but as a total gift of self. This is my body given up for you. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then the personal active mode of our self-giving is also evident in the Mass. The priest says, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours, that is, and your sacrifice. The form, then, of our personal response to his gift, mediated in the sacraments, is the generous gift of ourselves, our sacrifice offered in union with Christ's sacrifice and the priest's sacrifice. That is what each one of us is doing in the liturgy. We are giving ourselves to Christ so that he can give him us to the Father. So to summarize up to this point, in the sacraments, the person of Christ encounters our person and we encounter him. And this takes place in the area of action, in particular, personal gift or sacrifice. Now, my fourth point, how is this possible? How does bread and wine, oil and water, communicate and make present a personal self-gift? We see a partial reflection of it in human relationships. A letter or flowers from a beloved both communicate the one whom we love and the one who loves us. Right now, adorning my office wall is a group of pictures, which, if I'm honest, will probably not go down in history as monuments to artistic achievement. My children drew them, and despite all the ways that my kids demonstrate an almost preternatural stubbornness and therefore drive me crazy, these gifts are given to me as gifts of love. And for that reason, these gifts are invaluable, and I love them because I love the ones who gave them to me. In my response, my action is gratitude, which is also an act of love, an action of self-gift. So hopefully you can see that on a human level, you have this person-to-person relationship that takes place in the area of action, through gifts that make present personal self-gift. But what makes this possible on the personal level? It is love that is able to transform gifts. It is love that radically alters these objects so that they are not drawings in the abstract, but tangible and concrete expressions of a personal love. So love transforms these gifts, but these gifts also intensify and deepen love through my response. Now we can transpose this into a theory of sacramental personalism. In the personal gift of each sacrament, again, the person of Christ is the one who's encountered in the sacraments. In this personal gift, love not only transforms the gifts, in fact, the love that shapes the giving and receiving of the gifts is the Holy Spirit. The love of the Father and the Son love himself, a divine person. He is the one who transubstantiates these gifts so that they become fully personal, that they mediate the person of Christ. In this way, the Eucharist truly and really makes present the person of Christ in and through the sending of the Holy Spirit. All the sacraments are personal gifts because they come from a person, Jesus Christ, and they are transformed by a person, the Holy Spirit, through divine love. Furthermore, this divine love, the Holy Spirit changes the gifts and he changes us. He transforms us. Dare I say, he transubstantiates us to make of us the body of Christ, the Church. So on this fourth point, what I'm saying is that personal gift is mediated by matter, by bread, wine, water, oil, and transformed by the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Blessed Trinity, he is the one who personalizes the gifts, makes them bearers of a personal exchange, and by our receiving them, personalizes us. Now we come to my last point about the sacraments. I want to speak briefly about the efficacy of the sacraments. Most of us know that the sacraments are not mere symbols, but that they effectively, efficaciously, that is, they truly enact and make present the grace that they signify. So this is what we call the ex opere operato nature of the sacraments. And as we know, this means that God infallibly promises the grace that is signified in each sacrament, regardless of the worthiness of the minister, present company excepted Father. To some, this just seems like magic. That's what people criticize us for, Catholics. You guys just believe in magic. That if you then just say the words, hey presto, you have grace. But that's not what we mean. And with the theory of sacramental personalism, the notion of sacramental efficacy belongs to the logic of fidelity, of faithfulness. Christ so fully and faithfully gives himself to his bride, the Church, in each sacrament that this gift can never be revoked. There is a genuinely spousal and an irrevocable faithful gift of himself in every sacramental celebration. And our response to this fidelity must also be fidelity, in Latin fides, faith. Yes, I believe, amen. That is what a yes means in every sacramental celebration. And again, not purely an intellectual assent, but in terms of a yes that expresses my total gift of self to Christ, my total union with him. Thus, what happens in the sacrament is a total and faithful gift of self from Christ to me and me to him in the Church. This gift of self forms a total communion of persons, a total union in which we can say with St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's in Galatians. Now, at this point, you might have noticed that I successfully managed to get through about two-thirds of this talk without really mentioning mercy. You might be thinking that I'm a charlatan, or hoping against hope that somehow I can bring this all together mercifully in the next 15 minutes. So the first issue in trying to bring together then the sacraments and mercy is to ask, what is mercy? When St. John Paul II wrote about the mercy of the Father in his encyclical Rich in Mercy, Dives in his Accordia, the Latin, he noted that there were two Hebrew words that, taken together, get to the essence of mercy. The first is chesed, and this denotes the quality of faithfulness, of fidelity. In his steadfast and faithful love, God will never forget us, even should we sin. We find in God's mercy a fidelity. Fidelity to the covenant, there's this constancy. The second word is rachamim, which speaks of a tender love, a maternal-like closeness to those who are suffering. And I think that this tenderness is what we're most familiar with when we hear about mercy. We tend to equate mercy with compassion. Now, this is true. Mercy is compassionate and tender, but it is also faithful. It's both. Thus, in God's mercy, we see a faithful tenderness and a tender fidelity. And the danger is that we separate these two that are meant to be put together. With the coming of Christ, this tender fidelity takes on human form. And here, I'm really just quoting Popes John Paul, Benedict, and Francis when I say this. Mercy is a person. Mercy is Jesus Christ. He is the tenderness and fidelity of the Father. He is the incarnate mercy of the Father. In him, the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of Mercy. We cannot understand mercy, we cannot know mercy, if we look for it in any other place other than in the face, the heart, and the actions of Christ. So, all that has been said thus far about mercy converges upon the person of Christ. In his person, we see mercy made flesh. And this mercy, revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, comes to each and every one of us. He is the merciful Redeemer of every person. Now, the sacraments have been described as gifts of his person, who he is as Son and Redeemer to each and every one of us. So, if the sacraments are encounters with his person, and in his person we see mercy incarnate, then the sacraments are truly efficacious and effective incarnations of mercy. They really make present to us Christ's faithful and tender love. The sacraments then are the concrete, tangible, and visible ways that we receive and experience mercy. In the sacraments, we can taste, see, and touch mercy incarnate. And I would add that without the sacraments, we could not truly and personally know and experience mercy. We would never know fully the mercy that came down from on high, assumed our human nature, died for us, redeemed us so that we could be co-heirs with him, so that in suffering with him, we may be glorified in him, all of this through mercy. So if you want to personally know mercy, come to know and encounter Christ in the sacraments. Secondly, I have to make special mention about the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, given that Pope Francis has spoken often about this sacrament in the Year of Mercy. In particular, he asked that this sacrament be placed at the center of the Year of Mercy so that it will enable people to touch the grandeur of God's mercy with their own hands. When we apply a notion of sacramental personalism to this sacrament, hopefully we see that what I have outlined above becomes particularly pertinent. Recall that I spoke of the sacraments as personal encounters that take place in the area of action. What are we doing in the sacrament of penance? The rite says that we're doing three things. There are three actions, or acts of the penitent: contrition, confession, and satisfaction. In contrition, we turn our hearts, our whole selves, to God in sorrow for our sins and with the desire to sin no more. In confession, we open our hearts to the minister who represents Christ. We name our sins, we take responsibility for them, and we give them completely over to the mercy of the Father. These are no longer my sins. I detest them, and I give them completely to the Lord. And then finally, our last action is satisfaction, or penance. This completes our conversion, our turning away from sin back to the Father through a desire to make amends for my sins and to right the wrongs that I have done. In response to our actions, by which we give ourselves personally to God, what is God's action? The rite says this. It says that the priest extends his hands over the penitent's head, or he extends his right hand. This signifies the outpouring of the Holy Spirit over the penitent, and the priest says the formula for absolution, and I absolve you from your sins, go in peace. Thus we see in the sacrament of mercy the most radical personal encounter of action, of self-gift, and outpouring of the Spirit of love. This is what John Paul II said about the sacrament as a personal encounter. This is from his first encyclical, The Redeemer of Man. He said, "In faithfully observing the centuries-old practice of individual confession with a personal act of sorrow and the intention to amend and make satisfaction, the Church is therefore defending the human soul's individual right, our right, to a more personal encounter with the crucified, forgiving Christ, with Christ saying through the minister of the sacrament of reconciliation, 'Your sins are forgiven. Go and do not sin again.' As is evident, this is also the right on Christ's part with regard to every human being redeemed by him. His right is to meet each one of us." End quote. Now let me conclude. I know that this is a lot. We wanted to give you something rich in this Year of Mercy, so hopefully you are now feeling, in the words of Shakespeare, twice blessed. So here is an overview of what I said in terms of this theory of sacramental personalism. It took me 40 pages to get to do this in my doctorate, okay, so I'm going to give it to you in three sentences. First of all, the sacraments are ways that we efficaciously encounter the person of Christ. Secondly, this personal encounter takes place through action, in particular the action of personal self-gift and sacrifice. This is your personal exchange. I give myself to you. Point three, Such a personal encounter in which Christ gives himself to us and we give ourselves to him is mediated by sacramental signs. Again, bread, wine, water, oil, laying on of hands, contrite confession, etc. The Holy Spirit transforms these gifts through love in order to fully personalize the sacramental exchange. That is, Christ's person to us and our person to Christ in the communion of the Church. Now, my talk title was The Sacraments as Corporal Gifts of Mercy, not corporal or spiritual works of mercy, and I did that deliberately. Those two words, corporal, meaning bodily, and gift, have to be understood in a fully personal way. It means that in the sacraments, the person of Christ, who his mercy himself concretely, tangibly, corporeally, so we have the body dimension, gives himself to us. These are bodily, personal gifts. That is what I meant by my title. The sacraments are truly merciful gifts of the person of Christ. They are the way in which he personally comes to us in order to unite us to himself and to transform us. So the sacraments are the ordinary means of mercy operating in the world. They are the ordinary way that mercy operates in this world. In the year of mercy, I worry that we'll be so busy showing mercy to others that we will forget that we must first be beneficiaries of mercy. Before we can go out into the world as evangelizers of mercy, we have first to receive mercy. That's what Pope Francis said. He said the sacraments, as we know, are the locus, that is the place, of the closeness and the tenderness of God for humanity. They are the concrete way that God thought and wanted to come and meet us, to embrace us. Now, I began my talk with a problem. I said that the world of the sacraments is almost inaccessible to us because of the life we live, and especially, although not exclusively, because of the way we view matter. And yet I also said that this world is almost inaccessible, not completely. I believe that when we come to know the person of Christ, when we allow him to enter into our lives tangibly through the sacraments, and when we respond through our gift of self, opening ourselves up to him so that he can radically change us, I think that the world that the sacraments presuppose can be entered into in a deeper and more meaningful way. If we turn more fully to Christ, who mercifully gives himself to us in the sacraments, a turning that we call conversion, then his world can become our world. Through conversion to Christ, his measure of loving can become our measure of loving, and his relationship with his Father can become our relationship. And it is only then, through this conversion, that we can truly be merciful as the Heavenly Father is merciful, and truly reflect the face of the Father's mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
That was Owen Viner with The Sacraments, Corporal Gifts of Mercy. This talk was part of the Jubilee Year of Mercy series entitled Mercy, Love's Second Name, presented by the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family in Melbourne, Australia. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.